I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Calls Media Roundtable. We begin today's show by discussing the widespread protests and strikes in France. The CGT union said almost 3 million people across France are protesting the government's plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64 as people are living longer and struggling to make ends meet. The strikes have shut down schools, public transportation, and oil refineries. 8 of the country's major unions have come together to take part in these protests, which are also focusing on the widening wealth gap in France. Riot police have used tear gas to suppress the 400,000 people marching in Paris. This has been one of the largest mobilizations in France since 1995, when public outrage forced President Jacques Chirac to abandon a similar plan to target the pension system. Joining us with the latest is Cole Strangler, a Paris-based journalist covering politics and labor issues. Cole Strangler's work appears in many outlets, including The Nation, Jacobin, and The Guardian. Hi, Cole. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Well, great to have you, Cole. We are bringing back one of our features of the roundtable. And I just wonder, just looking at the news this week, articles you've read, what really stands out for you?
Yeah, I think what stands out is something you mentioned in your introduction, which is just the sheer amount of opposition to this proposal and the amount of protests that we've seen, specifically the number of demonstrators. Like you said, you know, even if you look at the government's official numbers, which are much lower than the union's numbers, we're looking at over 1 million people coming out into the streets, which is something that we don't often see in France these days. We've been told the labor movement isn't able to mobilize like it used to, and we're seeing actually a lot of people coming out for these protests. That's one thing. And then I think the polling, too, is pretty striking. Seven in 10 people in France are opposed to the government's proposal to hike the eligibility age from 62 to 64. And that polling has stayed pretty consistent. So that's something that I think maybe the government and President Emmanuel Macron weren't necessarily anticipating, which is that public opinion would continue to oppose this reform and actually side with the union. So I think those two things stick out to me, the size of the protests and then the fact that actually public opinion is pretty clearly, unambiguously on the side of the protesters and the unions.
Even according to surveys, a slight majority of members of Emmanuel Macron's own political party oppose this plan.
I mean, I think, you know, one of the, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that because I think we focus a lot or the media tends to focus a lot on sort of the opposition from the left to this reform. And that's coming for you know, it's the result of history and the attachment that the left has for the retirement system in France, you know, where they see for a lot of people on the left in the labor movement and left voters, you know, having the ability to retire with dignity and decent pay or decent benefits and have time off from work at the end of your career is considered really a fundamental right, something that's been won along with other basic labor rights, you know, through strikes and protests and victories at the ballot box. So for the left, it's something that's very important. But as you just mentioned, I mean, obviously, the opposition to this reform isn't just limited to the left in France. You have the broad public opposition to this reform, which I think speaks to support for the French system as it stands today. I'll just give you a couple of statistics to better quantify what I'm saying, which is France has the second lowest rate of senior poverty among all OECD countries. So not just a lower rate of poverty among seniors than the US, than the UK, but also Germany and Sweden, which are often held up as sort of these models of social democracy. So France has beaten them on both, you know, on that count. If you look at also the net, what's called, it's a little bit of a wonky term, but the term, the net replacement rate, which is to say that the amount of benefits, retirement benefits compared to income, compared to earnings over the course of workers' careers, France has a very high ratio, around 73-74%, much higher than if you look at, you know, Social Security in the United States, for instance. So it's a system that's very effective. It's a system that keeps people out of poverty. It's a system that's popular. And I think that accounts for the opposition that, again, isn't just limited to the left, but actually is coming from a broad swath of the population.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because we recently did a couple of shows about how here in the U.S., people are working longer. I mean, we did a show about a woman who was fired from her job in her 70s and she had to get another job. It is very common for people in the U.S. to work well into their 70s. Is it common in France for most working class people to retire at the age of 62?
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's that's another good point. We there's been a number of reforms in France that have already taken effect. The most recent big one was we had a reform under Hollande, but I think I'll start with Nicolas Sarkozy, who raised the pension, the earliest retirement age from 60 to 62. That's the same level that we're talking about today. So already that reform has taken effect, and you have a separate reform, which is often doesn't get talked about, but there's a minimum amount of years you need to contribute into the system in order to access your benefits, 43 years. And part of this reform that's being proposed is to make that take effect sooner, which is a long way of saying, yes, the earliest age you can retire, let's say this reform does go through, would be 64. But in practice, you need to be paying the system for 43 years. You need to be continuously paying into the system. If you're not doing that, you're going to be retiring beyond 64. A lot of people, you know, in sort of my cohort I speak with, people aren't going to be able to retire until age 67, which is the latest age at which you can start getting full pension benefits. So in practice, a lot of people already are working beyond age 62. It's not like everyone in France is cut off at age 62. People are working beyond that. You have reforms that are taking effect that are pushing that level up even further. So I think those are both important points to note. But at the same time, you do not have the same phenomenon as in the United States, where you have people working, you know, in their 70s, working class people in their 70s, you know, grocery store clerks, janitors, people doing, you know, intense manual labor at that age. And actually for French people, it's something that the U.S. is seen as sort of a dangerous, you know, example of where this all could head. People in France do not want to end up like the United States, or I should say most people in France, where you have, you know, grandmothers, great grandmothers, you know, working at age 74, 75, 76. That's not what people want. And so that's why people are attached to the system.
Can you talk about how the system works, exactly how the pension system in France works?
Yeah, I think one really big difference as well when we're thinking about comparing with the United States is, you know, in the U.S., a lot of people have private pensions that they're relying on or retirement plans. They have money invested in the stock market. That's actually it's pretty rare in France for people to have supplemental retirement benefits. So this is essentially it. It's sort of, I think, an important point to stress. The system that's being reformed is the main system that essentially everyone is using. Some people, you know, higher income earners will sometimes have supplemental pension schemes, but really we're talking about the main pension system that everyone's paying into, overseen by the state. That's what people get. So the French system, what it does is when you start working in France, you're essentially paying into that, into the benefits for current retirees, and paying into the benefits that you'll be receiving once you retire. And it should be said as well, I don't want to downplay it. And it's something that that conservatives and people more on the right talk a lot about in France is you have fairly high payroll taxes that finance the system. That is benefit that has comes with a lot of benefits, but you know it's expensive system. And so you have essentially payroll taxes that are financing the system over the course of your career. And once you start working, you know, a chunk of your income is going into the pension system, and you essentially accumulate those benefits over the course of your career. Now the threshold in order to get a full pension is 43 years. So you have to pay into the system for 43 years. That's essentially how it works. And we'll leave it at that.
France also has universal health care, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah, you have, you know, it's not quite fully only run by the state as say, you know, the situation is in the UK with the National Health Service, the NHS. France has a health system that's overseen by the Social Security system, in which most services are. It takes a long time to explain, but are essentially being bankrolled by the state, and the costs are obviously much lower than the United States. People on top of the basic baseline in Social Security that pays for healthcare sometimes have supplemental benefits that then pay for healthcare, but it's essentially overseen by the state and subsidized by the state. What it looks like in practice is that people, when they go to the doctor's office, as I did just recently, you pay up front a fee that's much lower than it is in the United States, and then once you pay, Social Security reimburses you. So you have Social Security taking up a big chunk of the cost, keeping the costs low, and then on top of that, you have different private schemes that can help cover the additional costs. But the costs themselves are much lower than in the U.S. because of this heavy government intervention, because of the presence of the state in the system.
Today, we're speaking with Cole Strangler, a Paris-based journalist covering politics and labor issues. We are talking about the widespread protests and strikes in France. People are speaking out against the government's plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. People are also talking about widening wealth gap in France. Cole will be with us for about 10 more minutes. So if you have any questions or comments for him about what is happening in France, if you've been following this coverage, if you are from France and would like to talk about how the social system works there, we'd love to hear from you, or have lived in France, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. So let's briefly talk about why this is happening in the first place. You briefly mentioned this. The government says there's not enough money in the system because people are living longer. There aren't enough people working in the workforce paying into the system. But unions and the protesters say the government can generate more revenue by raising taxes on the wealthy. So given that this has failed in the past, what is Macron saying? Why is he trying to do this again?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. It's a hotly disputed point here. One of the main arguments that the government has been making is that the system is unsustainable from a financial standpoint. That's been the government line, and it's a little bit tricky because the state has a council, the government has a council that oversees the financial stability of the pension system, and they've asked this council to comment and to weigh in. The council itself does project a 12 billion euro deficit to be emerging soon. But even under their scenarios, first, 12 billion euros sounds like a lot of money. It is, but it's not that much I think you should at least keep in mind how much money is being spent on the system overall. We're talking about a relatively small deficit, and that council does not project the deficit to be that significant in the long run. So you have a lot of debates even within between Macron and his party and this council that again is appointed by the state to oversee the system. They don't entirely back the government's line on this. so you have a debate about the numbers, the debate about the financial stability of the system. I think people on the left have made the case that really this is more about an ideological battle that Macron wants to pick, because this is something that the right historically has been very active about. They want to reduce the amount of state spending that's going into the system. They see it in the long run as not financially wise to have such a heavy presence of the public sector in the economy. So it's seen as sort of this issue that the right can win. And the second point, to be a little bit more precise, is that and people on the left have made this case in particular, which is Macron's sort of promise to France and to Europe is that he's going to help keep French spending in check. He's going to lower taxes. And we've seen a number of different moves to lower taxes overseen by Macron. And the question is, how do you pay for those tax cuts? How do you finance your reforms? Well, if you're spending a lot of money on retirement, France spends 14% of GDP on the pension system. That's a great place to go find savings to finance the rest of your agenda, which involves tax cuts. So I think those are two fairly compelling arguments. The government case is this is financially necessary to keep the viability of the system. That's disputable. You have, again, like I said, those other cases to be made. I think one, it's an ideologically motivated reform, and then secondly, it's something that's seen as necessary in order to finance the rest of his agenda. All of this is, of course, up for debate and dispute, as people are debating this right now.
How strong is the left in France?
Yeah, the left is I think stronger than sometimes it's portrayed, and I think what's one of the interesting things about this movement against pension reform is we're really seeing labor and the left take front stage, take center stage in France. If you read a lot of the foreign press coverage of France, you could have the impression that you essentially only have two main political camps, Macron and the far right. It's not really true. It never really has been true. And I think we're seeing right now that the left does have, a significant presence in France, and that the kind of issues that it champions, defending the welfare state, defending the right to have time off from work at the end of your career. These are issues that broadly the public supports. So this could be something that could, potentially give a boost to the left under Macron, as depending, of course, on how this all plays out. I think another point which is interesting to make is if you look at the protests, and I should say as well, I used to be in Paris, but I'm living in I'm in Marseille now, in the south of France, and being at the protests in Marseille here, seeing talking to people and seeing them. And it's really the case everywhere else in the country is the far right in France is not present at these protests. At least they're not visibly present. There are no banners showing the national rally. There are no banners from Eric Zemmour's party, a party even further to the right. These protests are really dominated by labor unions. They're dominated by left-wing parties and, of course, unaffiliated people. But you don't see the far right visibly at these protests, and Marine Le Pen, isn't someone who's been benefiting a whole lot from the movement. I think that's an interesting kind of dynamic here. Is it's really, again, putting the left center stage, putting the left as the showing the left as the main opponent to Macron and his agenda.
That is interesting, because I remember watching interviews around the election and Le Pen supporters. Working class people were talking about how they were struggling to make ends meet. So what explains the fact that you're not really seeing many of the far right supporters at these protests?
Yeah, I mean, that's a complicated question. I think it's important to distinguish the far right, the organized far right political party or parties from the voters of those parties, the people that vote for those parties. So if we're thinking about the national rally, the far right party from Marine Le Pen, you know, you have a chunk of those voters that are, you know, relatively well off ideological conservatives. You also have, as you just mentioned, a chunk of working class voters who vote for the RN. Some of those people could be at their protests. I think a lot of them probably are, just based on the sheer numbers. But you know, that doesn't mean that the parties are showing up, and actually the unions that have been heading the various protests and strikes have said, both of the two main unions heading the protest, the CGT and the more moderate CFDT union, both of them have said the far right are not welcome at the protests. And I think even Le Pen and her party and the leaders of that party know very well that they would be not welcomed, and it would be perhaps not a good move from their standpoint to try to show up at these protests. It could get pretty confrontational. So there's a sort of tacit understanding, even among the National Rally, that they shouldn't be going to these protests. Because of historical reasons, it's the unions, and of course the National Rally does not have a good relationship with the trade unions. And I think, frankly, a lot of people wouldn't want them there. Again, the organized political party, not necessarily some of the voters.
In your piece, you write about whether the unions will be able to mobilize people beyond their base. I was watching a Real News Network interview, a piece with a number of caregivers and people who have to use their bodies to do really hard work, and nurses. And they said, you know, I'm young and my body already hurts. I can't work until I'm 64. So that was an important point to make. What else really strikes you about who is there and who's getting support? The New York Times actually has a piece a couple of days ago called "As Parisians March to Fight Pension Changes, Shopkeepers Nod and Agree." So in this piece, a lot of shopkeepers say, I cannot afford to be out on the streets, but I am in full support of the protesters. And they interviewed people who are 30 and then people who are older.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the key issues here, which maybe I neglected to stress earlier, is that this is, you know, this is an issue about class as well. If you think about people that are approaching retirement, you know, if we're thinking about people in their late 50s and their early 60s, already as it stands in France today, like elsewhere, people who are working more comfortable white collar jobs, better paid jobs, live longer than blue collar workers, people that are using their hands, people that are using their bodies on a daily basis to work. And so people have made the case, and I think rightfully so, that already blue collar workers aren't able to benefit as much from retirement as better paid, as their better paid counterparts are. And so for a lot of people, you know, frankly, it's insulting, I think, is the way that it's been, you know, felt by a lot of people that, you know, they're thinking to themselves, okay, I've been paying in the system my entire life. And as I said earlier, considerable portions of your paycheck also going into the system. Let's say you're a nurse or a home care worker approaching the end of your career. You've been paying the system your entire life, and the government's telling you, actually, you're going to have to wait a couple more years. And at the same time, you know, you have, you know, let's say your boss or you know, another white collar supervisor who already is making more money, who's going to be able to have a you know, better benefits and ultimately live longer. So it's, I think, a class issue. This is penalizing blue collar workers who need to already don't benefit enough from their retirement. It's going to hurt people that start paying in the system earlier, that now have to say, now are looking at the proposal of the government and saying, wait a second, I've been doing everything right, and now you're telling me I need to keep paying into this a couple of years. So I think it sort of hits people on a kind of visceral level. I think that's part of the opposition.
There are expected to be even more protests next week. So what is next for this movement?
Yeah, we have two protests that are scheduled on Tuesday. The 7th is another big day of national strikes and protests, the third such day since the beginning of this movement. And you have another day of strikes on the upcoming Saturday. I think it's the 11th. In any case, that's Saturday. So Tuesday and Saturday. It's a very, very good question where this is headed. The unions hope to keep mobilizing. The question is, what's the government going to do? Are they going to make concessions? So far, they've said that it's non-negotiable, this hike in the eligibility age, which is the most controversial and opposed part of this reform. So 62 to 64, raising the retirement eligibility age. They say they're not budging on that, but they very well could try to just hold out and try to use their relative majority in parliament to ram this bill through. And I can go into the more the details of what that could look like, but that's one option. They can just sort of keep going through and say, you know what, even if 7 in 10 people are opposed, we're going to try to get this reform done. That's one option. I think another option, probably the most unlikely, is they would have to just back down in face of the protests. That's something that would weaken Macron for the rest of his term. He's beginning his second term, so that seems unlikely that he would just back down. I think another option, and it's something that the unions and the left have been hoping for, is that the numbers about the polling, the protests, will potentially force people within Macron's own party, force his potential legislative partners to reconsider their support from the bill. And if you can think about, you know, that in the long run, it is, from the Macronist standpoint, the question will be, is this reform worth pursuing if it's making things so difficult in your own political coalition? The goal is to make this politically untenable for Macron's coalition. That's what the left and labor is hoping for. But again, it's difficult because you have everyone sort of not willing to budge. The unions do not want to budge. The government says they're not going to budge, and one of these sides is going to lose in the end. But we'll have to see, I think, how the protests look next week to get a clearer sense of where this is headed.
Cole Stangler is a Paris-based journalist covering politics and labor issues. We have been talking about the widespread protests and strikes in France over the government's plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. They are also talking about widening economic inequality. Oh, before we let you go, Cole, we had a good question from a listener. Let me find this. How much do people pay in? Is it something like almost 7%?
You know, it depends on what sectors you're working in, so that you have different rates. I think it really depends on what sector you're working in. It can be around that. It can be even higher than that. You have a French paychecks are very complicated compared to their American counterparts. You have a number of different funds that you're paying into, and there's some budgeting wizardry going on also to shift funding around. But you have, it can be 7%, it can be higher than 7% in some cases, depending on what job you're working in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Cole, and thanks for your reporting.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And coming up after a break, in somewhat related news here in the United States, we will talk about the pension system, a few questions about that, how people are just working longer. We're also going to talk about Republicans using the so-called debt ceiling as leverage to cut Social Security, Medicare, and food stamps. This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. We'll be back after this.